and that and I want to briefly get into what I got into last week, because for you that weren't here, you're going to have a difficult time kind of getting right into where I was before without getting a little bit of background. But I'm believing in a great revival in the last days. And listen, there's people that said that the Lord's coming back. There's this group of people called Family Radio. They've predicted that the Lord's going to come back on a certain day several different times. He didn't ever come back on that day. They've said May something this year. I can't remember what it is. But the bottom line is the Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour, which means that nobody can predict that. Now, the Word said not even the Son knew, but the Son didn't know while He was here, but He knows now. He knows all things. He's there with the Father, so He knows all of those things. But I do believe we're in the last days. And in the last days, there's a great revival that the Word of God tells us is going to happen. And I believe that we're right on the cusp of that great revival that's about to occur. And it's going to be different than any revival that we've ever seen before. I've shared with you before about the Great Welsh Revival. And the Great Welsh Revival, there was such revival in the land that all the pubs in the entire state, if you will, closed down because everybody was in church. Everybody was saved and filled with the Spirit and going to church, and nobody was attending the bars. They had to close them down. But the gentleman that was running that revival literally decided not to go back to the revival because he didn't want to get puffed up and he didn't want to be proud. So he became a recluse and the revival ended. We know about the Brownsville revival. Many of us here went to that revival. I've been to that revival in Brownsville. There were things that happened in that revival. I know it was of God. In Pensacola, I'm talking about. And I know that revival was of God because I was touched in that revival. People came from all over the world, pastors from all over the world, people from all over the country. I went through the line and talked to people almost every country you can think of. The first people in line had been through 10 drug and alcohol rehabs, I guess, and never could get it together. And there was a line that people got there. Many people spent the night there in sleeping bags on the line. And people literally waited all day to get to church. When have you ever heard of that? Well, this revival went on for such a long time. People's lives were touched and changed. I had an experience there. It directly impacted my family. But you know what? That revival ended. That pastor is no longer there. That evangelist is no longer there. And the enemy has attacked his body, and he hasn't done real well. And the church is in debt and is really struggling. That's not the kind of revival that I see in the last days, when God's coming back for a victorious, overcoming church, for a bride without stain, without spot, without blemish. This is going to be a revival that it's an ongoing revival until we meet Jesus in the air. Amen? And so a part of what's going to happen during that time is miraculous. You know, the miracles. There are people that believe that God set the world in order, left it alone, and you can get saved, but that the only miracle that He ever performs is that you get saved. Well, that's not Bible. The book of Acts doesn't end. The reason that the book of Acts doesn't have an ending, because the book of Acts is about the New Testament church. The New Testament church is alive and well. They said that the last miracle, sign, and wonder died with the last apostle. I can prove that that's not true. First of all, the Bible never says it. And second of all, I can prove it's not true because we know that people who were disciples of those apostles in the Word were still performing all of those things, and God was still doing all of those things. He said for believers in the New Testament, these are the signs of the things that believers will do. We'll cast out demons. We'll speak with new tongues. We'll pick up deadly serpents and they won't harm us. Don't go do that on purpose, but if you happen to grab one, you're good. All right? I mean, I ain't into that snake handling strychnine thing. But you know what? These are the signs that we're a believer. We'll be filled with the Spirit. We'll be going throughout all the earth preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. And preaching the good news to who? Those that are captive. It sets the captive free. Preaching good news to those that are poor. What's the news? You don't have to be poor no more. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people's lives. And one of the things that hasn't stopped in this last day, signs still occur. Wonders still occur. Miracles still occur. God still heals today. He didn't say that he was just going to heal and then from then on nothing happens. Now listen, I'm not talking negative about the medical community. I'm a part of that. I'm not talking negative about doctors. God uses doctors to do what God does, which is to heal people. God uses nurses. He uses medical professionals to get things done. But you know what? There comes times in people's lives where if it's a good doctor, that doctor will tell you, you know what? As far as what man knows, we've done all we can do for you. At this point, it's up to the great physician. And the great physician made us. He knows all about us. If he can make you and I from the dust of the earth, then you know what? If we needed a spare part, he could give us one. If we needed something new, he could give it to us. If there's something that needs to be done in our life, God can do that for us. And a part of that is miracles. Now, I gave the definition of miracles last week, and a miracle is simply supernatural intervention of God. That's what a miracle is. And there's not anybody in here that at one time hasn't needed a miracle or in the future may not need a miracle. But you know what? We shouldn't live our life from miracle to miracle, having to have miracle to miracle every day. That's not the way God intended for us to live our life. So, there's what's called the blessing that's on all of our lives. And the blessing is still the power of God, right? It's the power of God that supernaturally uses natural things in our life to bless us, right? But then there's miracles, and miracles different. Miracle is a supernatural intervention of God. Now, what we don't want to do, as I just said a moment ago, is to live from miracle to miracle. We don't need to live that way. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We're commanded blessed. The blessing will literally hunt us down and overtake us. We're blessed to be a blessing. But some people never understand that. And they don't understand that because they've heard all their life that, you're never going to amount to anything. If you've done something wrong, then that's going to be that way forever. But the Word of God says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. We're a new creation in Christ, which means did all those things happen? Did I do all of those things? Yes, but that's not me anymore. Now, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a rightness and a right relationship with God. There's therefore now no condemnation. And you know what? Whatever I did back then, that wasn't even me. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I'm not going to drag that mess around with me for the rest of my life. So you know what? I'm a candidate. You're a candidate. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's under the blood. You're a candidate to be used by God to perform signs and wonders and miracles to allow that to flow out of your life. Now listen, I'm not going to stop here long enough to say that when a miracle, when God uses you to get a miracle to somebody, that we know it was God. There ain't anybody in here apart from God that can perform a miracle. Okay? But, you know, people want to sit there and go, you can't perform no miracle. You know, I ain't going to get into all that mess. God uses a person. And sometimes, and don't think he doesn't, sometimes you might not even have the faith to receive your miracle. Sometimes God might use somebody else's faith for you to get your miracle. Somebody might, you know, because I've received miracles like that. I sure didn't have enough faith to receive it. But God used somebody else's faith to get that miracle to occur in my life. Now look, the way he wants it is for all of us to be able to understand how to get the miraculous operating in our life. That's what that's the ideal. But the good news is, sometimes God gets stuff to us in spite of ourselves. Praise God for that, right? Until we learn what the Word says and he can get the Word to us. Sometimes we need that miracle just to kind of jumpstart our faith, just to kind of get things going and get us back in gear, you know. Maybe we've been going through some stuff and we just need that miracle to say, you know what, God, I just need you to move in my life. Now listen, God isn't motivated by a need. If God was motivated by need, nobody would ever have a need. God's motivated by our faith. We operate by faith. God gets things done in our life by faith, not because I need it. You can say, God, you know I need it. He's sitting there going, hey, everybody has needs. And nobody would have needs if he just met needs. He's looking for faith. He's looking for somebody that will take his word and believe it and do it. He said, look, I don't want you to just be a hearer only. I want you to be a doer. If I say that I save and that I'll wash you white as snow, then I want you to believe that I save and that I wash you white as snow. If I said that my son took the stripes to his back for your healing, I want you to believe that my son took the stripes to his back for your healing. I want you to understand that everything that's needed was provided at the atonement. Prosperity, health, deliverance, sanctification, salvation, whatever it is that we need from God has already been provided. And you know what? You need to understand that Jesus has already done everything that he's ever going to do. Then you can say, okay, well, I'm in trouble. No, what you don't understand is this. He's already provided everything that needs to be provided. What you and I need is to get an understanding of what it is that he's provided and how to receive it in our lives. And one of those things is miracles. He has provided miracles. He still provides miracles. And here's the good news. He's no respecter of persons. If he's ever provided one for somebody else, he'll provide it for me. Many Christians just wish and hope that it happens. That's a whole lot different than faith. Hoping and wishing is different than faith. That's not what the Bible teaches. People will say, you don't ever know what God's going to do. You absolutely know what God's going to do. Believe it or not, God's predictable. God is orderly. You can guarantee that God's going to do it the same way every time. Just like there are natural laws on the earth, such as gravity, you jump off that rail, you're going to get hurt because the law of gravity will take effect. Just like that's the law of gravity, there are spiritual laws, which means that if you work those spiritual laws, they're going to operate the same way every time. Let me give you an example. You shall reap what you sow. You can mark that down. You know, people call it karma, right? Or they call it the payback, or they call it whatever. But the bottom line is, whatever it is you sow, that shall you reap. That is a spiritual principle. Financially, whatever it is that you sow is what you're going to reap. Now, praise God. When we come to God, he has mercy on us. And there's still some things that we have to work out because of the years of poor seed that we sowed. But you know, God's merciful. God's also a God of supernatural debt cancellation. And he'll just work things in your life that sometimes you think are impossible. You know, some people are so smart about things that they're so smart about it and they have so much knowledge about it, they can't see how God can do it. In other words, there's been people, I ain't going to mention any names, but there's been people that knew so much about the law that they couldn't see how God was going to get them out of all the trouble they were in with the law because I knew too much about the law. You ever been there? You know so much about a particular subject, you just can't see outside of that subject because you know so much about it, about how God can do it. Well, here's the deal. God can do it. Don't matter how much you know. Sometimes that gets in your way. It really does. And, you know, sometimes we can know so much about physical things and about the body, such as my mother nurse here. Sometimes we'd go into a room with my dad and the doctors would say something to us and I'd go, wow, that's pretty good. And we'd come outside, mom go, oh! And I'd look at her and I'd go, was we in the same room? The man said, she goes, but I just know all the things that could go wrong. I'm a ICU nurse. That's what I do. Let me tell you, that thing can go south right now. And I'm going, well, thank you for that blessing I just received, because I thought they was talking good stuff when I was in there, like, hey, there's hope. That's what I was seeing. But see, sometimes we can be so educated about a particular subject. And if you don't think that's true, think about it. Isn't it amazing how you can have faith for one aspect of your Christian life and then in another? So there's some people that financially, they can believe for stuff and bam. But when it comes to healing in their body, or maybe they can believe for healing in their body and they've got faith that they can receive it. But when it comes to another area, it's the same faith that worked in the one area that works the other area. But sometimes we just know too much about that other area in the natural and it keeps us away from understanding. You know, there are medicine, and by the way, medicines are good. Doeth good like a medicine. The laughter doeth good like a medicine, which means that medicine's good. The Bible says it. But how many of you know it's better to be healed and walking in health than having to take medicine? So sometimes you got to get out of, you know. And let me tell you something. The enemy always has a counterfeit. There were some drugs that if I told you that if you took that drug and I go, well, you know, I didn't get nothing out of that, that's a lie. There's some drugs that make you feel good. There's some stuff that you can take and drink that'll make you just howl at the moon till the next day. The next day when you come out of it, just as good as you felt when you took it, the next day when you come out of it, all that stuff that you was that you didn't want to deal with when you took that drink and took that hit and whatever, it's all still there. So, well, yeah, what day are we going to wake up and grow up and go ahead and deal with the issues and let all that stuff go? Right? That's a rude awakening, too, when you wake up that day and you go, oh, no. You don't really want to face about how many people you've messed over, how much stupid stuff you did. I don't know about y'all, but I did some stupid stuff. Occasionally, I'll have a slip-up of stupid stuff. But I'm having faith that in the future that I don't have any more. You know, you think when you get to a certain age, I'm 52. Now, I'm used to opening mouth and inserting foot. I've done that before. But I went up to a doctor's office the other day, and there was a girl, she wasn't at her desk. And I was just kidding around. I'm going, oh, she's probably outside taking a breathing treatment, meaning that she's smoking, right? That's what, when them nurses disappear, normally that's where they're at. They're out back smoking with the doctor and the respiratory therapist. So I come in there, well, I'm talking. Well, she comes walking down the hall, a young girl, and I go, was you out taking a breathing treatment? She looked at me, and raised them eyebrows, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then she came over there and she goes, I want you to know I'm mad at you. She goes, here I work for the pulmonologist on the respiratory floor, and you're going to yell out down the hall, was I out taking a breathing treatment, insinuating that I was smoking? And I go, you know what? I never thought about that. My people drive a truck with oxygen on the side of it. I tell them if they smoke in my truck, I'll let them go. I knew better than to say that. But every once in a while, you just... We speak before we think, right? And I looked at her and I go, you know, I am so sorry. I go, I thought at 52 years old, I was done doing stupid stuff, but obviously I'm not. She goes, I accept your apology, but don't ever do that to me again. I go, don't worry. Hey, I'm never going to do that to you. If I did it to anybody else, it would never happen to her again. Amen. At least I'm that smart. But God is predictable and orderly. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He does, there are things that work by spiritual laws. So how is it, if things work and faith work by spiritual laws, how do we receive a miracle from God? Well, first of all, you have to understand that miracles just aren't hit and miss. How many times have you heard about somebody that you know that was driving down the road and they should have been in the middle of an accident and something just moved their car and for whatever reason they didn't get hit? Matter of fact, Dylan was driving to Lakeland not long ago and he was in the fast lane. No, he's on I-4 headed towards Tampa. And when he gets about Plant City, there's all this mess going on around him. He's in the fast lane, but all this mess is going on around him. And one guy cuts in front of another guy. That guy swerves out here, swerves back over, like three lanes over, all the way into Dylan, hits Dylan, knocks him in the ditch. That guy's in the ditch. His car's all messed up, man. The whole front end's messed up. He had to be, you know, towed out of there. Dylan, the guy's bumper hit Dylan's rim on the car, and there wasn't nothing else on the car. Nothing. There was a little scratch on the rim. Now, how often do you hear that? Hey, I remember when they used to get hit like that on I-4 before that thing was in the middle of the road, and they flipped over into ongoing traffic and all that stuff. But see, Dylan told me that. And I'm sitting there going, yep, I know why that happened. Because I thank God every day. I don't live in worry. I don't live in fear. But I plead the blood of Jesus over my family every day. I thank God that His Spirit's in us and within us, operating in wisdom on the inside of us. That the shield of faith is our hedge of protection. That He sent His angels to serve and protect. And I believe Dylan's angels just, you know, pulled everything off to the side of the road and all that. Now, the man was upset. It was an older guy. Man, he was all upset, and he was ranting, he was raving. And Dylan he's looking all around the truck, and he's going, there's no way that could have happened. And all I got is that. I'm talking three lanes over, front of his car, straight into Dylan's truck, pushing him into that median where the tire sunk up, the mud came up almost to the fender well. He had to put it in four-wheel drive to get out, and he has a scratch on the wheel. Let me tell you, God does that stuff every day. It's not just a hit-and-miss thing. What about those other people that weren't so fortunate? Well, you know, I don't know what's going on with their life, and I don't know what they pray, and I don't, you know, we can say whatever it is we want to say, but we don't know that. We don't know where they're at. And I can't address that. I can only address what I know God's promised me in His Word. I can't tell you about people. You can tell me about Aunt Ethel and Uncle Fred and, you know, That's an I Love Lucy illustration. You can tell me about all them. But you know, you can't use people as an example when we're talking about the Word of God. Because only God knows people's heart. Only God knows what people are operating in their life. And what I mean is I know God's people and what the word's all about is people. But what I'm saying is if I'm explaining to you how the Word of God operates, then you can't tell me, well, I know somebody over here that it didn't work for. Well, you don't know what they believed. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what they've spoke over their life, their entire life. There are people that say, the way you're living, you're going to be pregnant before you're 18. Pregnant before you're 18. The way you're living, I've heard people say, I tell you what, I don't want to be old and living in some nursing home where I don't know what's going on. People's got to push me around. Guess what? They never make it. Really? Why can't you just get old and not have to have any of that? Abraham didn't have to have any of that. Moses didn't have to have any of that. I ain't having none of that. And I've already learned, because I got a bunch of those patients, you got to be a little bit cantankerous to make it to 104. I got a lady right now that's 104 years old. And I was talking about being in her house and all that stuff. And she goes, can I say something to you? And I go, yes. She goes, been down here. And I've been down there. And I go, yes, ma'am. She goes, you, sir, are a liar. I go, well, ma'am, I have been in your house. And she goes, you have not. I go, you got a picture. Here's your chair. Here's your kitchen. There's a table right there. And an 8.5 by 11 black and white picture of you celebrating your mother's 100th birthday. And you told me that your mother and her sister both lived to be 102 and you'd outlived them both. She goes, that sounds right. But everything else is a lie. I didn't say nothing else. But you know, I guess you got to be like that. Now, if I was to call her and say, I'm going to come work on your chair. Oh, by the way, we couldn't deliver her chair except we had a 1-hour window because she has her place at bingo. And she don't miss bingo because they have her place at bingo. So we had to come and deliver this thing she needs to get to bingo when she got back from bingo because she wasn't going to miss bingo just to get it. And if I call her and say, I'm going to come work on it, nope, you ain't coming over here. I don't need you. Everything's good. Nurses called me and told me stuff's hanging off of it and all that. I have to call the nurse to meet me there for her to allow me, and the lady's looking at you the whole time going, you know, like she don't want you to be there. That's how you live to be 104. Just, hey, goes to tell you a lot about their will, doesn't it? And it has a lot to do with what... Now, see, she knew that her parents, her mother and sister lived to be 102. And she's outlived them both. And 104 years old, still going just as strong as she can be. I'm sure Willard has and Smuckers have wished her 100th birthday. Anybody can tap into a miracle. All of us believers can tap into it. When we learn how the laws of God work and how to work them, we can receive miracles in our lives too. And I'm not saying that you push a button and God pops out, or you rub a lamp and God the genie pops out to give you what you want. That can be turned on any way, anytime, just by you trying to manipulate God. That's not what I'm saying. But God is always wanting to move on our behalf, because God is for us, He's not against us, and He loves us. And because He loves us, He's not trying to take anything from us, He's trying to get something to us. Have you ever seen, I had a friend that sent me a message the other day, and this was the message. I had no idea what it meant. They said, I'm so confused. And they were talking about something about if I don't want to stay, but if I do stay, I don't even, it was such a crazy message that they were trying to tell me what it was they were talking about without telling me about what they were talking about. But what I did get out of it was they were confused. Right? And so just out of my spirit, I wrote two things. I wrote, where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. In other words, if you're confused, that means you've got strife going on within yourself about what it is you should be doing. And where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. In other words, whatever it is that's causing the confusion, whatever it is that's causing the strife within you, God's trying to say, you need to deal with that. Because the second thing that I told her was, God is not the author of confusion. So if you're confused, it ain't God. If you're confused, God's clear. And most of the time, when we're confused, it's because we made a mess out of something, and we're wanting God to come fix our mess, and God don't operate in people's messes. God operates with His Word, and He's going to honor His Word every time. If you say, well, I know what the Word says, but, you know, God doesn't understand. Oh, God understands. He was tempted. He sent His Son. His Son was tempted every way, just as you and I were. Jesus was tempted to compromise, but He didn't. Jesus was tempted to do a lot of things. If He's tempted in every way that we were, yet He was without sin, then He was tempted every way we were and without sin. He made the right decisions. We need to make the right decisions. And when we've made a wrong decision, you don't get in there and ask God to bless your wrong decision. You take care of the wrong decision that you made, and you don't do that anymore, and then you go and let God bless the change person that's made the change. You know, some people, it's like they build a box. Here, let me build this box. And they go, okay, God, let me put you in there. Now, here's what I need you to do based on what I've got going on. You know, God's not restricted to where I'm at in my life. And God didn't put me in my life where I'm at. It's decisions I made. It's things that I said. It's things that I did. Right? But you know what? When we pull ourselves out of that and say, okay, I'm going to honor God's Word. However I've blown it till today, I'm going to fix that right now today, and I'm going to move forward. And yeah, we've confused it sometimes. Sometimes we confuse it with emotional things that we've got involved with, and we're so emotionally tied into that thing now that, but see, emotions and feelings have nothing to do with faith. You know, there's days where I don't feel like getting out of bed, but at 5:30 to 5:45, I'm getting up, whether I feel like it or not. There's a lot of mornings at 5:30 and 5:45, I don't feel like it. There's a lot of mornings at 5:30 and 5:45 when I'm lacing up my tennis shoes to go out and walk my 4-mile trek and pray that I didn't feel like it. But you know, I don't live by feelings. I live by faith. I know I need that time with God. And once I get started, it's good. There's times where I've blown it and I've got to go to somebody to fix it. That ain't pleasant ever. You know, you don't just wake up one day and go, man, I'm going to go ask somebody to forgive me. Praise God. You don't do that. Right? Or when you got to go deal with a relationship and what the enemy goes, this is going to be bad. 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 And then when you go and deal with it, it wasn't that bad at all. But the enemy kept trying to say how bad it was going to be. Look, we're so much better off if we just do what God tells us to do when He tells us to do it. Because it ain't going to get better if we wait. Right? Isn't it amazing? We take years of doing stupid stuff and getting ourselves in a certain position and then want God to go bam and fix it all right now. Well, it ain't fixed your head that got all them stupid decisions going in the first place. Right? We got to learn where it is we missed it so we don't miss it next time. Right? And sometimes it takes us a while to get it. I had a pastor come and preach for me one time. He preaches, man. He preaches and he's preaching. God's put this thing on his heart. He pours his heart out. Literally, he was there till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. People laid out all over the floor and all that. And then I took the pulpit and said everything against what he just said. And he was speaking that mostly over my life. I didn't get it. And then one day I was preaching for him, and it just popped up inside. I realized what I did, and I looked at him, and I go, man, that just popped up in my head. He goes, yeah, you did it. I go, yeah. He wasn't going to cut me no slack because I did do that. But God's desire for us is he wants to prosper us. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be above only and not beneath, according to Deuteronomy 28. But here's what lots of people don't get. Me, we're the one that controls God's ability in our life. In other words, I'll have people say something to me all the time and they go, you know what? I just want this to get better. And I'll say, well, you know what? You're the captain of that ship. And they look at me like I'm just stupid. But what I'm trying to say is, if that changes, it's because you've decided to change. It's you've decided that you're going to do it different. You've decided that if God's word says it, it's for you, and that if you'll do your part, he'll do his part. God's ability is controlled by what I do. God's ability is controlled by whether I step out in faith. God is not going to force anything on you. God made you creatures of choice. And you're either going to choose to do it like you're supposed to do it, or you're just going to... You ever heard the saying? And it amazes me, because people do it for years. If you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. Definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Right? It will never change until you decide to change it. And you are the captain of that ship. You want God to do mighty things in your life? Then you allow God to do mighty things in your life. I put a quote on Facebook this morning. I posted it. And it had to do with, that if you trained hard, then the battles would be easier. But if you trained easy, the battles would be harder. In other words, if I spent time with God every day, if I was in His Word every day, if I was taking God at His Word every day, and I was just walking, the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing, which don't mean that you're at work going, Ishanda baha kaya mohota. No, it don't mean that. What it means is that I always have an awareness of the presence of God in my life. Because if I did, I wouldn't say some things I said. I wouldn't do some of the things that I did. When something came to my spirit, I would be thinking about how does that relate as to what the Word says and how I'm going to do that and how I should handle that based on what the Word says, how I should handle it. When on the inside of my head, when I say I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, then I'm listening to the Word of God that says, that I should show restraint and control and love. The golden rule. Do you want people to give them a piece of your mind? I had a guy come in one time. He goes, I'll tell you what my problem is. KKK. Kim, Crystal, and Kevin. In other words, my wife, my brother-in-law, and another girl was working for me. Man, he's cussing and ranting and raving, foaming at the mouth. And he'd do this thing like this. And he goes, I don't even know what I want you to do. He goes, I don't even know what. He goes, I quit. He goes, no, I don't quit. He goes, what you want me to do? Y'all have been proud of me. Because normally, I would have got up, put him in a headlock, and just took him outside. That everything within me wanted to do that. I mean, he's like 6 foot four, and he goes up to Kevin, and he goes, you want to take it outside? And I'm like, dude, that's Kevin. And that's before he had the little belly he's got on him. Come on. Now, look, he'd surprise people because he is a little wiry fella. And but I'm thinking, the big guy going to pick on Kevin? I mean, and that really bothers me too. You know, so I'm sitting there. But I'm sitting behind my desk, never got up. And then he goes, what do you want me to do? And I looked at him and I go, you know, I don't know that I've ever quite seen anything like that in my life. I go, and I don't know what I want you to do, but I know what I want you to do right now. Leave. Oh, okay. And he leaves because he knows he's just made a fool out of himself, right? And he leaves, and I think about it, and I'm like, you know, it took me a while to think about it because, you know, you're just so stunned and shocked by this thing that just happened, you know? And then, you know, you're thinking, wow. So I call him up, and I go, well, I think based on what just happened today that you've burned all your bridges here. And what I think would probably be better is that you just don't come back. That's what I want you to do. Don't come back. But that's the way that I handled that. But on the inside, that's not the way. You know how that thing starts talking to you? Okay? Hey. That thing starts talking to you on the inside, like, pop him now. Just tag him right now, he ain't expecting it. But you know what? When you start saying, okay, what does the word say? How should I handle this in reference? Plus, when you show that restraint and you allow the word of God to work in you like that, the Lord starts showing you stuff to where it's almost comical because you're sitting there thinking this stuff that you ought to do, but when you really watch how that other person's acting and how the enemy's got a hold of them like that, you sit back and you look and you go, wow, that's the enemy's got a hold of that person big time. And we're the captain of that ship. We're the one. It's God's power and ability that operates in our life, but it's up to us. Look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So it's his power operating and working in us to get these things done in our lives. To see miracles, to be healed, to prosper, to be blessed. If there's no power in us, then God can't intervene in our life with His power. It's God's power. But that's God's power in us. God's chosen never to violate your will. If you make a decision that you're going to do the wrong thing, God's not going to make you not do that. I had a lady say, I want you to pray with me. Now get this. She was married and she had a boyfriend. And she wanted me to pray with her that she would lose the feelings for her boyfriend. Now, I know this is going to shock you, But I go, no. I am not going to pray for you. She goes, you're not going to pray? I go, no, I'm not. Because what you need to do is what God's Word says. Is it right with you being married that you have a boyfriend? She goes, no. I go, then why would I need to pray? I ain't real good at counseling, y'all. Because I'm going to give you a Bible. But I mean, really. If you ain't going to do what God's Word says, I can't make you do it. And I'm not going to pray you into it. You know? Unless I'm like the Oz behind the scenes pulling the things and go, give her a brain. And she's probably going, he's back there going, and give him a heart. Because I've seen no compassion coming out. But you know what? It's hard to have, it's tough to see people go through tough stuff. But it's also even tougher when they don't, it's one thing when they come in and they go, I've blown it. I have blown it. I've failed. I blew it, man. And now I've got this thing going. It's one thing when they're repentant. But this woman was going, she goes, but the boyfriend, she goes, boy, he has got a body. I mean, she was like lusting after the guy, telling me about him, telling me to pray, could she lose the love when she's married? Don't come to me with that, y'all. You ain't going to like it. It ain't going to be good. You know, I don't care if they're the most attractive person that ever hit the earth. Right's right, wrong's wrong. And you know, that's what I'm going to tell you. I don't care if they're a millionaire and you're broke. I mean, seriously? There's a word for people who take money for sexual favors. Isn't there? Satan can't stop God's power. He can't do it. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. Right? He's not all powerful. The enemy's not, but God is. The enemy can't stop God's power in your life. But you can stop God's power working in your life. You can just be waiting. But I know people that have waited for years. I know family members that haven't talked to another family member for 50 years, over $20. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So this has been going on for 50 years and your brother dies. But he owed you $20. Consider that seed sown, man. What's more important? You know, some of us did stupid stuff to our family. And then we've had this strain. We've done stupid stuff. It was us. We did stupid stuff. Then there's this strain in the family. Right? Then we wonder why we wonder what's their problem? Well, we were stupid. We did stupid stuff. The problem was us doing stupid stuff. But now we realize that we did stupid stuff. So what do? You don't just let that fester forever. Well, if that's the way they're going to act and that's the way they're going to treat me, well, you probably deserved it. Right? And even if you didn't, be the bigger person and say, you know what? You had a right to be angry. You had a right to be like that. But here's the deal. I was wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Now, some people just love drama, and they're not going to let it go. But you know what? It releases you. Go to them and say, I did stupid stuff. What I did was wrong. And they're going to go, you're not going to change. You ain't changed. You're always going to be the same. Man, people just love that. You know, it makes them feel better about themselves. You know, instead of having the attitude, well, you know what? I hope you have changed. I hope that God, all these things that you're saying that God's doing in your life, I hope that really is the way it is. And if that's the way it is, we'll see it. And I'm excited for you. But there are going to be the others that it don't matter what's happened in us, because that's given them a reason to be the way they are for all that time. But at least I get a release. At least I can let it go, because I tried. Right? But don't sit back and wonder why they feel that way about us when we're the one that did stupid stuff. Right? Just be the bigger one. Treat people as we want them to treat us. But you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. It don't matter what you do and what you say. Mr. and Ms. Little Angel. But you did everything just right. And if you're like me, if somebody said I did something, I didn't even remember. I probably did. When you got whole days and nights that you don't remember, you might ought to give the benefit of the doubt to the other person that maybe you did it. Because I didn't. I went to court one time like that, and I learned real quick. I went to court, and the judge goes, well, I've got a report here that says you were flipping cigarettes out of people's mouths and knocking drinks out of their hand and daring them to come outside. Is that true? I go, Your Honor, I plead insanity. He goes, insanity? Obviously, by reading the report, it was true that I probably was a little bit insane. I go, sir, I'm just going to be honest with you. The only thing I know about this case is by reading that report. I don't remember none of it. Well, you know, how can you go and defend yourself when you don't remember nothing? Right? And it's true. It's true that we've done stuff that it might have been because of how we were living our life, that was our perspective of how it was. Because you know what? When you're not living like you're supposed to, your perspective is a little bit different. But it doesn't matter, does it? What matters is, what's God's Word say now? What am I aware of now? And how do I fix it now? And then you do everything in your power to go fix it. And you humble yourself. You know, you can say, well, I'm not going to do it. It was big when I was coming up, first got saved, about restitution and making things right. You don't hear a lot preached about that anymore, right? But I didn't get the gist of it all the way then. You know, I just had to, you know, the people that I obviously knew that I'd done wrong, I'd try to go to them and see them and stuff like that. But I didn't have it like I have it now. I was doing it then because that's what the Bible said I was supposed to do. But I may not have done it with the right attitude, because the Bible says speak the truth in love. And I don't know that I always handled those things right. At least I tried with what I knew. But when it's love operating in you, it's a whole lot different. When it's love operating in you and you realize where you came from and where you were and what you were doing, and love is operating on the inside, you know, it doesn't bother you at all to say, you don't even have to have been wrong to be able to say, I'm sorry. You know, it could just be that their perception was you were wrong. You know, what's more important? Peace and joy and happiness, or being right? You know, there's a lot of people that were right that died very unhappy. But is that the way you want it to be for you? I mean, is that important to you? That you know, I want my family to love me. I want the people that I know. Now, there's just some people that ain't going to love me. You know, I've learned that a lot of them people that I've let go because they didn't show up to work and they didn't, it's still my fault. You know, I've learned that. And they ain't ever going to love me because I'm a good excuse for, you know, them to blame. But I love them. And I'm not mad at them. But I can't make people love me. You can't make people love you. But we can try to make things right with people, can't we? And we can try to be the peacemaker. If they won't receive it, and then, you know, so we've gone to them and they won't receive it, don't go, well, then go to hell then, see if I care. You know, you get what you get. I'm trying to make things right here. You know, that ain't the way to handle it either. I think it was Jesse DePlantis preached a sermon one time. He didn't preach it. What is there in hell for you, or something like that? And you know, what is there in hell, huh? What in hell do you want? Right, yeah. Not what do you want, but what in do you want? There ain't nothing there I want. There ain't nothing that has to do with that life that I used to live. You know, attitudes. You know, when we get saved, we can't just keep on having the same attitude that we used to have if it wasn't the right attitude. Some people, but that does happen. People get saved and they're not going to go to hell, but they think they can just live just like they always lived before they got saved. And they can say whatever it is they said before. You can say, well, I'm still human. I've still got feelings. You don't live by feelings. You live by faith. You live by what the Word of God says. I'm to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I get renewed in my mind by what the Word says. What does the Word say? That's what's going to change my life. If I just keep on justifying why I do what I do and why I say what I say, I'm not going to get any growth out of that. I'm not going to be any different than that. I've got to do what the Word says. And lots of people never get to that point. Here's something that's important. God performed all of His miracles by the spoken word. God said, light be, and bam, there was light. Now, we read it in Genesis. It says, let there be light, and there was light. But literally, if you looked at it in the translation, it's light be, and light was. God spoke it. If He hadn't have spoke it, it wouldn't have happened. And guess what? We're supposed to be like God. So if we want to see things happen, we have to speak it. Speak what? Not speak what I want. But I speak what God's Word says. And it might be what I want. But I'm going to get what I speak. If I speak and spew anger and bitterness and hate, then don't be surprised when you reap bitterness and anger and hate. You know what I learned when I was out? By the way, if I was out drinking beer, and I used to like to drink a lot of beer, if I was out drinking beer, I was a calm person. But if I drank some whiskey, I'd fight King Kong and I'd start it. Most of them people probably could have whooped me, but I think they saw that look in my eyes, like, that is a crazed man. And I don't know what it was about that. I don't know if it, you know, I know that there's that whole thing there, but that was not my normal personality. My normal personality was more calm. Now, I did like getting scraped up. I did like to do that. But my thought, I learned this, that when I was living like that, there was a bunch of people out there that were just happy to reciprocate. That their attitude was just as bad as mine. And if I'm going out there looking for it, guess what? I will find it. And you know that's true in life. You will find what you're looking for. If you're looking at somebody to be a smart aleck, they're going to be a smart aleck. If you're looking at somebody to treat you right, they're going to treat you right. But if you have the right attitude about it, even if they don't treat you right, you're going to say that's okay. Because God says He gives us favor with God and man. He doesn't say He's going to give us favor with every man. But God gives us favor with who we need to have favor with to get where God's taking us. So not everybody is going to just love us and help us. But God's going to put people in our way that will get us where He wants us to go. He will. Whatever it is we're looking for, that's what we're going to find. If you're looking for a fight, I promise you, you can find a fight. If you're looking for, you know, whatever, just name it. Whatever it is you're looking for, you will find it. And you do. Think about it. If you're going somewhere and you're looking for somebody, because you can say, well, that's not true, but you think about it. Think about that, okay, that you're going to the store to return something. Tell me that you didn't think about before you got to the counter what you were going to say if they didn't take it back. Did you? When you went there to return that thing, and they wasn't going to take, and they told you that they weren't going to take it back, had you already decided when you got there what you were going to tell them if they told you they wasn't taking it back? And lots of times you find what you were looking for when you got there. You had already decided that you wasn't going to have favor. When you get there, you're going to tell them one thing: I'll never shop in this store again. I tell you what. I did that not long ago. My big screen TV. It ought to be against the law that your big screen TV goes out during March Madness. That ought to be in a Kentucky boy's contract. It cannot go out, I don't care how old it is, during March Madness. No matter how many TVs you got in the house, I got the TV where my recliner, where my body fits right there. Nobody else's body. Now, Caden, if he sees me going for it, he will dive from halfway in the floor and slide and roll over and be in my position. He thinks he fits in it, but everybody gets in there and goes, because it's to my body shape. I've wore that thing out to me with my TV right there. March Madness. Yes. I ain't ever watched them people play before, but I love them. My TV goes out. I call them. The first guy goes, we're going to be there tomorrow. Praise God. Tomorrow. He don't show up. I call him up. They said he's going to be here. No, you needed to take the afternoon off for somebody to call you. That's what we meant. To call me. Yeah. Okay. I need this information. Give them the information. We're going to order the part and send somebody out there with the part. I go, how do you know what's wrong with it? You ain't looked at it. He goes, oh, that's a common problem with that TV. We know that's what it is. So then I'm going to get a call within 72 hours. 72 hours, I don't get a call. I call the people and I go, I didn't get a call. They go, well, you know, we called you earlier today to set up an appointment to come out. I go, to come out? For what? to diagnose. I go, what'd I stay home all day Monday for? They told me. The guy told me. The guy told me that it's a common problem. He knew what it was. He was ordering the part. They were going to be out here in 72 hours to fix it. Oh, no, that problem with that TV. They've got to send a guy out who has to take the TV apart and take a picture before the manufacturer will replace the part. I go, I want to talk to a manager. So I'm talking to a manager. Finally, He goes, well, just talk to your technician. So I talked to the technician. He goes, sir, I'm just going to be honest with you. Everybody that told you everything that they told you, they lied. Now, this is the guy that works on them. He goes, it's going to be 3 weeks. I go, man, it's March Madness. That's what I told him. I go, I'm from Kentucky, and it's March Madness. I go, I tell you what. I go, I'm taking this TV back to the place. He goes, well, do your best, sir. And he goes, and if they hook you up, call me back and tell me not to come. Okay, I go, I will. I'll be calling you back. I put that thing in my truck. I drove it up there to the store. And here's what's in my head. If they don't give me a new TV, y'all can hold it here till they fix it. I don't want to take it back. Why do I want to take that sorry TV that won't do nothing, that y'all won't take care of? And I walked in, thing's like 2 years old, something like that. And the guy goes, man, I think I sold that TV to you. He goes, come out here and get you one. I go, praise God. I went back there and he goes, now look. He goes, that's a, what was it, 50 inch? No, the other one. Yeah. And that one's a 60. Yeah, oh yeah. I go, that 52 inch LCD, we don't have it. He goes, but I got a 60 inch LED over here for $200 different. He goes, it's an inch and 7/8 wide. I go, sticker on the truck, baby. Sticker on the truck. Now, it don't really fit in where it's supposed to go, but 60 inches. I don't care. They make a 74, but I knew that we wouldn't be able to open doors or nothing over there. So whatever we had would just be hidden. 60 inches. But you know what? I had decided on my way there that's what I was going to do. Now, see, God helps us sometimes even when we do stupid stuff, right? And even when we're talking, see, I should have been expecting blessing. But I done worked it all out. I was aggravated, that's why. It's basketball season. My TV's gone out. Now, see, I can be spiritual about a lot of things. But I learned that I have an area where I need work. Now, see, my phone, I dropped my phone, broke it. You pushed a button and glass would stick in your finger. And I called Kim. I go, I'm going over here. I'm going to get me a new phone. And I go, but I didn't buy the insurance. And I started to talk negative. And I go, no, no, no. I go, I have the favor of God. I'm going to have favor when I get there. See, over the phone, because sometimes you just want to throw that in the lake anyhow, I could have faith. But when it came to basketball, I struggled. Isn't it amazing how we can have faith for one thing? And then another area? But God worked a miracle and turned my 52-inch into a 60. Hebrews 11 says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, when you speak that word, God's word is creative. They're little capsules full of seed. That when you speak it, when you speak what God's word says, it has creative power. And see, some people go, oh, you're one of them, name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, as opposed to not saying anything and not getting anything. Yeah, that's me. You're one of them old faith preachers. Oh, compared to worry and doubt and you know, not getting anything, yeah, I guess I would be. Fear. You're a faith preacher instead of a fear preacher. A girl got online the other day and put this quote, which was one of the greatest sermons ever preached, but it was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And she put an excerpt of that in there. And without wanting to kill her spirit about that she was excited for God and all that, I put in there and I go, thank God for God's grace and mercy. Right? It's the only way I knew how to kind of diffuse that without, like, I was attacking her. In other words, that was me. But thank God for God's grace and God's mercy. Amen. So you know what? The first place you're going to start in seeing the miraculous happen in your life is you're going to begin not to talk about things as they seem to be in the natural realm right now, but start talking God's word about what it is that you want. Start speaking about God's word about what it is that you would like to see. Instead of, I'm broke as Job's turkey. What does that mean? What does that mean? Job's turkey. Instead of saying, I don't have two wooden nickels to rub together. How about, I'm a blessed and prosperous person. I know God's going, I know, Father, you're going to meet that need. Instead of saying, I'm sick as a dog, wished I could just roll over and die. How about the Word of God says, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm healthy, and better than that, I walk in health. How about that, no, I know when I go there, they're just going to tell me no. How about, I have favor with God and man. I'm God's favorite. He's going to put a person there that when I walk in there, it doesn't matter where I've been and what I've done, that they're just, I'm going to have favor with them and God's going to do it for me. You know, maybe one day Stephen will tell you a little bit about it, but I'm going to tell you, man, I've seen God working in his life and the favor of God that's been on his life, regardless of where he's been and what he's done. Man, same kind of stuff happened in my life. You know, and I'm going to tell you what. Praise God that God gives us a whole lot better than what we deserve. It ain't about what I deserve anymore. It's about what God wants to do for me. Because you know what? He loves you. And he wants to do it for you if you'll just start talking like he wants you to do it for you. He wants to do it for you. And you need to understand that he does. But you know what? It's going to take you being committed, getting in the book, start talking like the book says talk, and say, well, it's not that easy. Well, yes, it is. Look, I hate that. I love that. How hard was that? I just want to punch them. We have a little history with one of my wife's mother. We have a little history, and I don't want to punch her. But I will tell you that it's been a relationship where there could be a lot of, well, there has been a lot of strife. I just put it like it is. And I don't talk about that because no matter what, that's my wife's mother. Now, I'm about her like I am about a lot of things I can do without. There's a lot of things I can do without, and she could probably be one of them. I mean, if I'm being honest. But you know what? That's my wife's mother. And I know she can try to say that doesn't matter, but I know it does. So you know what? You can ask them. I've started to speak faith over that thing. Phone rings, and they'll say, you know, she called, and I go, I love her. Kim goes, you do not. I go, no, I do. I love her. And then somebody say something about it. I go, I miss her. She goes, you do not. I go, I do. I miss her. And now I've spoken all these things into her life and she's trying to move here. But you know what? You know what I do know about that? I do know that they know enough about us and they know enough about how we live our life that regardless of what's happened, if they needed us, we would be there. So, don't matter how antagonistic the relationship has been, it's not going to change the way we react. And I had to start changing the way that I talked about it. You can do that. You can change the way you feel by speaking God's word about it. I promise you, you can. You can do it to the point where there's somebody that you probably hated before, that you can take God's word and you can turn that hate into love. You can. We were once enemies of God, and look where we are now. Amen? Amen. Stand with me.